Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
We can turn our attention now to County Westmeath and the Hill of Uisneach. TV producer and director Brian Redden, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, and it's a sad day today, Brian. You're there for the month's mind and the scattering of the ashes of the late writer and broadcaster, Moncon McGann. It's been called a celebration of land and spirit. So what's going to happen over the next few hours?
Well, it's early yet, so it's about, what is it now, about 11:45. So in about an hour and a half, it's all going to start off. So what's happened is the Hill of Uisneach, Moncon's ashes are going to be scattered there today at about 1:30, I believe. It's a bit of a mud bath down there because of the rain over the last couple of days. So the committee from the Hill of Uisneach and Moncon's family have been great. They've organised all these essentially satellite car parks all around Mullingar, where they have many cars. I've met many people this morning already who are just coming from all over the country, and they have shuttle buses arranged to bring everybody down to the Hill of Uisneach.
So this is a kind of a tribal gathering.
It is, you know, it's like electric picnic. It's unbelievable. I mean, like I've spoken to people today. I was speaking earlier on to Faith McBrainon from the Hot House Flares, who's going to be playing at the ceremony. And I've met people here today who never even met Moncon. People who just knew Moncon from his podcast, from listening to him on the radio, from watching him on TV, who just felt they had to come here. And it's amazing. Like, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of people here at the moment, just outside Mullingar, and we're hours away from anything happening. So I spoke to Fignan to ask him what the plan was. So he was filling me in a wee bit because he's going to be performing. So what happened was, towards the end of Moncon's life, the great musician Steve Cooney wrote a piece of music especially for Moncon called Planxty, Moncon McGann. They played it at his funeral. It was amazing. It was beautiful. And today they're going to kick off with that. Fignan and Liam O'Malley from the Hot House Flares, Colin McInerney, and a few of the musicians are going to play that as his ashes are brought up to the top of the hill, where the family are going to have a ceremony. I believe there's a Cree elder, a native Canadian, who's going to be performing some kind of ceremony up there as well, because Moncon was very tuned in to Indigenous cultures, Indigenous tribes, and had spent a lot of time. In fact, last time I spoke to him, he was just back from Canada. He spent a lot of time with native Canadians. So a Cree elder is going to be there to perform a ceremony, and then the ashes are going to be scattered. And there's going to be dance, as there was at his funeral. I've never danced at a funeral before, but I danced at Moncon's. And I'm sure he's up there laughing at me, getting his last laugh on me. My wife couldn't get me on a dance floor at Moncon. I'd be dancing at his funeral. So
okay,
there's going to be dancing, there's going to be music. It's going to be an amazing celebration.
Okay, and I want to talk about you and Moncon and your relationship, but let's just take a listen first. Obviously, this being Moncon McGann, today's date and the location, the Hill of Uisneach, are significant. This is Moncon from Listen to the Land Speak, his show over summer, and this is him talking about Uisneach at Uisneach.
The most sacred site in Ireland is Uisneach, the Hill of Uisneach, the centre point, the navel of Ireland.
It's really moving to come to a site and to see people trying to engage with their own rituals again. Like thousands of people here gathered on a hill for Bealtaine. And like there's this really good account of the fact that a sacred fire had to be lit here and only on this spot.
The sacred fire. This is a tradition, a ritual, a rite that our ancestors have done for thousands of years.
We need to do the ritual. We are the custodians of the land. I'd love if each and every one of us here gathered on top of this hill connected in with our heart, with our land, with the soil beneath our feet. Something is rising inside of us, within our hearts, within ourselves, within our soul.
Lassami Duntinna, let's light the fire, Marcia, let's light the fire.
The sacred spear is lit and the song is started. It's only when I see that
fire is basically a representation of everything I've been trying to say. And you can see the people are lit too. There is something happening without any doubt. The fire is lit on top of Uisnech, but the fire, there is a fire lit in the soul, in the heart, in the cells of so many of us too. But I doubt there's something happening. There's something rising in the soil.
There's a fire lit indeed. That was at Moncombe again on the hill of Uisnech, where his ashes will be scattered today. And actually listening to that, it clarified what he was. He was a shaman, basically. He went there so to try and bring everyone else there. Brian Redden, tell me about you and Moncombe. You've been a friend and colleague of his for almost 30 years. When did you first meet him?
Yeah, under very odd circumstances. Moncombe was making his travel programme with his brother Ruan in the early days of TG Car when it started off back in 1996 now. And we were making a travel programme with Hector. And I remember Moncombe was interviewed by a Sunday newspaper and he was asked, you know, what he thought of Hector. And Moncombe said, I think he's great, only his producers. He needs better producers. I think his producers are terrible. I was reading that on a Sunday afternoon and my fragile ego would not take this. I'm like, who does he think he is? Only months previously he was living in a tent drinking his own urine. Who's he to talk to me like that? So I went in on Monday morning and I was incensed and I sent him an expletive-filled email calling him every name under the sun and saying, how dare he question my genius? And then to my surprise, within 10 minutes, I got an email back from Moncombe saying that, you know, we should be supporting each other. I spoke out of line, not quite apologising, but saying, if you want to get your own back on me, you have my permission to kick me squarely in the margaritas the next time you see me. So I said, right, let me know next time you're in Dublin. So sure enough, about a month later, he called me and said, I'm here if you want to take me up on that offer. And I went in for a cup of coffee and he stood up from the table, pushed the coffee to one side and stood there spread eagle and said, take your best shot. So I didn't kick him in the margaritas, and instead what started was a friendship that lasted for a long time, both professionally and personally. So we ended up making a lot of TV programs together, spending a lot of time together, traveled the world together, and that's how it started, yeah.
Okay, tell me about the show you made with him, No Berla, which he was telling us here when he was in with us just recently that Kneecap wanted to remake that. Maybe explain your Kneecap connection and explain No Berla.
So Mowgli Bapp, whose name is Nisho Carlin for Kneecap, I'm his uncle. So I have a family connection with Kneecap. And Kneecap grew up watching... They grew up watching No Berla on YouTube. I don't know who put it up on YouTube. Not me, but anyway, it's there. And they grew up watching it, and they loved it. And they loved Moncombe. They kind of fell in love with him. And the concept of No Berla was, myself and Moncombe were sitting down one day, and the census had just come out. And the census had said that, you know, almost a quarter of the population spoke Irish. And that's people kind of doffing the cap towards the Irish language and ticking a box because it makes them feel good about themselves. But in reality, we said, I wonder if that's the case. So we came up with this idea where we would travel around Ireland filming Moncombe refusing to speak Berla. His idea was he had to go all around the country only engaging with people in Irish. And that led to some hilarious moments. So we filmed a lot with hidden cameras and some other stuff was set up. We had some interviews and stuff. But, you know, so we would have him going into a chemist to buy a packet of condoms, say, for example, Oscoega. Or, like, Moncombe would do anything. I got him to stand in the middle of Galway once, busking the filthiest song you could imagine with the most filthiest, deranged lyrics. But they were all Oscoega. So you had little old ladies coming along throwing money in his hat as he was speaking, singing unimaginable things. But no one had a clue what he was saying because he was doing it Oscoega. So the Kneecap boys basically kind of grew up watching this on YouTube, fell in love with Moncombe and started a kind of a professional relationship with him. Moncombe sang on a couple of songs. But
yeah,
one song,
Pagan Drug Dealers, yeah.
Pagan Drug Dealer on their album. And we were planning, to do a new version of No Berla with Moncombe and Kneecap, where he was going to be like this, the Elder Lemon, saying, you know, 20 years ago we made this show. The Irish language wasn't in a great place. Now it is, largely because of you guys. You guys have led the charge to try and, you know, reinvigorate the Irish language and re-engage the youth with it. So now let's see how things have changed. So he was going to send them off on various missions. And our first day of filming, funny enough, to bring things full circle, was to be at Electric Picnic with Kneecap and Monken. And he rang me 2 days beforehand and said, I'm not well enough to go. So we had to cancel it. So that was unfortunately an unrealised project that was due to happen this year.
Yeah, because when he was in with us about 6 weeks ago, no, like it was a very lively interview, and he was hoping at that point, I think, to maybe finish a few projects, maybe take a little trip or two. I think he thought that day the chemo might give him some time.
Do you know what's gas? I rang him after the interview, and people have said to me, "Avis, oh, Monken must have been letting on. He was a lot sicker than he let on when he was on the radio talking to you." But it was only, I rang him shortly after that interview to have a chat with him. And it was only that day, when he left your studio and went back to hospital, that he found out really how sick he was. So everything he said to you was actually what he meant. He thought he had a lot longer. He was expecting to do this project with Kneecap. He was hoping to do another series of his train travels. We had a documentary we were going to be working on about his cousin, the great Ronan O'Reilly, who was the guy who created Radio Caroline, who was actually a cousin of Monken's. So we had gone and met him before he passed away, so we were planning that as well. So we had a lot of unrealised projects in terms of television, even though he hated making television programmes. He only made television programmes to make enough money to allow him to write his books. He hated them. Every time I rang him up and said, I've got another idea, he'd go, no, God, no, how long? Can I do it in 10 days? If I can do it in 10 days and you pay me this amount, then I'll do it, because that'll give me time to write a book. So the working with television and television people was not top of his list of priorities.
God, that's so sad to hear, though, that the hope went that very day, and he was here so full of hope.
He told me that himself, that he discovered later that day he found out.
All right, listen.
Really, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's rough. Brian Redden, Gurmila Margot, for taking our call on this sad, but I feel it's going to be a very special day as well. So, look, I hope it goes well for all involved. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Fáilte rath. Slán.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.